Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Well, here was an assignment from yesterday. Too many people are thinking of security instead of opportunity. They seem to be more afraid of life than of death. Seems people are more afraid of the voices of self-hate than either life or death. We hear often the kind encouragement, don't beat yourself up. A little noticing will let us see the admonition is neither kind nor encouraging. We, the authentic human beings, do not beat ourselves up. The voices of self-hate beat us up. And even that's something we need to see through. Beat? Those voices don't have any hands. All they can do is yell and say mean things. Every little kid learns that. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We're letting nasty voices control us because today do something the hateful voices say you can't do, and in good five-year-old style, sing nanner, nanner, nanner as you go right on ahead and do it.
Drunk with power.
Yes, indeed. Well, here's our first caller, Sherry.
All right.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. This is Bev from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi, Bev.
Hey, Bev. I'm happy to be here. Thank you. And I really am just enjoying everything, but this reading today very much spoke to me about I'm really starting to things that I've known for years because I've been practicing for years, but they're really becoming my true experience. You know, I've known them, known they're true, but as I've practiced so diligently and so regularly since we started Project Joy, I'm having experience. It's becoming real, and that's quite a gift.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. So from theoretical, right, because we all know that, not everybody, but most of us who are drawn to awareness practice know when we hear these kind of perennial truths, they resonate. We know, yeah, I know that's true. But when it drops in and it's your own direct experience, oh, my, it's a whole different world, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And you have always guided us to, as we watch, and you know, how we do anything, it's how we do one thing is how we do everything, and to really watch that in our lives. And you also suggested to start with something very small. And so my husband and I are taking dance lessons. He has been he is one of these men that he just doesn't like to dance. And so you know, as a gift to me, he said, I'll try dancing because I really love to dance.
So not at all.
That in itself, yes. So I'm thinking, wow, and it's fun. We go, but I have, and I thought, well, I'll start with this. I'll watch how the process is I learn to dance because I'm thinking it's going to be a breeze for me because I love to dance. Well, I was wrong. I mean, I like to dance. I just like to go out and dance. Well, my husband is a very ordered person. He likes a plan. So dance lessons are he's just taken to it like a duck out in water because he has a plan. He has a system to follow. And I cannot hardly give up that control and follow him. And so by doing this and watching and starting with something, you know, we're doing this for fun. It's lighthearted. It's no big deal that, you know, but then I start, then I come home and I'll be doing something and I think, that's exactly what I do. I don't want to give up the control here. I don't want to follow life and just, you know, let life just lead me like my husband, you know, because if I follow him while we're dancing, it's easy. It flows. So that has been such an insight for me. And then when I tell people, they'll ask, how are your dance lessons going? Say, I'm really having a lot of trouble giving up control. They'll just kind of look at me like, oh, really? Like they know, that this is. So I've really, but if I had started with something that were, really one of my issues, or
yeah.
that I probably would have given up because I would have been gotten my feelings hurt, or there would have. But just that was such good advice to start with something very small, because boy, now I just laugh. I'm like, oh my gosh, I do it everywhere.
There it is again.
So,
oops. Oh, so hello. There
great,
it is again.
another great tip. So challenge everyone.
Yeah, the other thing that is so good about what you're saying is that when we start with something small, and especially, as you said, something lighthearted, right? You're doing this for fun. And it started off as a beautiful gift to you, because he didn't want to do it, right? But he did it out of love for you. So that's a good way to start.
Yeah.
Given that, then when you see that control issue come up in other places, it's not so big and deep and heavy and horrible, right? It's you can have that approach of, ooh, that's just like following and dancing.
Exactly.
Ego doesn't want to give up control.
Yeah. So I am so thankful for this practice, for this opportunity. I'm so thankful that every day when I listen, I see that I'm just like everybody else.
Yes.
And
yes.
I just wanted to share that, and I'm gonna keep on dancing. So
keep on dancing. All right.
Okay.
Love
thank
it.
You, Terry. Thank you, Ashwini. Okay. Bye
bye. Thanks, Bev. You know what I took away from that, Terry, is this profound sense of how practical our practice is.
Yes.
It really underlines we live in a process world. Everything is a process. And so if we stop identifying with the content and everything's a process in life, then our practice is perfect, because there's nothing that's not a process, and therefore there's nothing not a practice.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's such a good point. The tiniest little thing in life is something that we can pay attention to and practice with. And once those beatings stop, once we see through that nonsense and stop doing that, then it's just, as Bev was pointing out, it's just fun. Control. I mean, ego just brutalizes people over control, the illusion of control. You should have control. You need to have control. You didn't have control. You're so controlling. What a control freak you are, right? So there's no good relationship with control when it's in ego's hands. And when we step back in that way, we can just laugh at it. There's no such thing as control. I get to see how I'm controlled by ego. Okay. I'm going to practice with that.
Yes. And what we rapidly start to see, I think the big bamboozle shows us that we can actually start to identify the process of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, by its attributes. Because it's about control, we feel controlled. Because it exists on comparison, we feel inferior or superior. You know, whenever we're identified with it, we experience the attributes of system. And they're universal structures.
Yes, yeah. So that's that experience. That's it. You know, we talk to one another in a practice setting, and we realize, oh my gosh, we're all exactly alike. So let's stop taking it personally, and again, just find it interesting and quickly get to, it's really fun to see how this whole thing works.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, let's see how it worked for someone else. Next
all
caller,
right, thank you.
On the air, would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carol in San Francisco.
Hello, Carol.
Hi. Oh, I'm so glad that you talked about control just now. That shed a lot of light on my day yesterday. Actually, the assignment was so great. I already had plans a few days before, had made a plan with a group to go up to our state capitol and take some actions yesterday. And one of those actions.
Participate as a citizen. Very good.
Yep. Take some actions around an environmental issue. And so, I had, and one of those actions involved going up to a microphone and speaking a little bit. And that was an opportunity.
Mm.
And so when the time came, I was begging, or anyways, I just was telling myself, in order to get myself up there with the group, I just said, probably they're going to limit the hearings, and most likely all of us won't get to go up, and that's how I got myself there. Of course, when we got there, the good news, everybody gets to go up, and so...
oh, goody.
And, I mean, it was about, maybe if I had to put a percent, maybe 1% of me actually wanted to go up at that point. And so, of course, all the terror stories were happening, and then the mentor kind of showed up and said, well, okay, somebody wants to go, and we're not turning around all this way and not do at least this part here. So here's the agreement. There will be no review. And and so it's all right if you trip. It's okay if you forget your name. It doesn't matter, because this isn't about the outcome. This is about life said something. You said yes. And, you know, here we are. And it's an opportunity to stand up for something that's important, that
that you care about.
A great, something that I care about, and that it's an opportunity to practice having a voice.
Uh-huh.
And so,
and not listening to other voices.
Exactly.
You can have
then
your
that
voice,
thing of,
not their voice.
Right. So I went in and did it, and then, of course, a review tried to come. But it's like, oh, no, I already made that agreement. That's not happening. We're moving on to the next action now. And and so, yeah, what I had to do, I had to recalibrate to life. That's what happened before going in, because it's like, oh, wait, life shifted now. There's this other set of situations. But I recalibrated. I'm practicing saying yes to life instead of letting, what is it that you said recently, fear of fear? You know, having fear of fear is something that we could go up against today. Why not try that, you know, and see how that'll go.
And the thing that is so powerful about that, for me, I mean, there are a ton of things that are powerful about that, but you made an agreement, no reviews, and you have the strength, you have the depth of practice to do that, to keep that commitment. So I started off with drunk with power, right? I mean, that's where we kind of get to. You realize, wait a minute, those voices, I can't actually do anything. I have the ability to say, we're not doing that. I made the agreement, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. And you have that power. You have that ability.
Yes. And
it's
then
just
what I saw.
Astounding, isn't it?
It is astounding to, at some point, to have the ability to shut down some of it. You know, I mean, it doesn't shut down, but redirect the attention.
Well,
it tries. That way.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
It still tries. Yeah. And it's going to keep trying. But you know that you have the ability to redirect your attention and not have to be brutalized by that. So you get to do what you want to do. And what do you want to do in life? Do you want to go out and rob liquor stores and sell drugs and kill people? No. You want to go speak up for the environment. You want to go to work and be the best person at work that you can possibly be. You want to participate in life. These are not evil pursuits. Okay, and yet, I'm projecting, you were beaten bloody over those very things, those very actually good wishes for participation in life, right? It didn't matter that you were a good person wanting to do good things. You were still beaten.
No. It didn't matter one iota. It was exactly the same. And then, so after it's over, then I watch the process, which is just as awful sometimes, because then there's the good cop, bad cop thing that comes, and there's this one now is going, oh, haha, I'm on top of the world, you know, and it was, and I went, wait a minute, that's the same entity that was beating me crazy this morning that's trying to go, oh, I've got this one, you know, and I think you talk about we are sentient beings that are talked out of being sentient. So the middle way was to go, okay, I got to participate in a section of life that I wanted to, and I'm happy about that. And that's okay. That is different than the good cop, bad cop ping pong game.
That's right. I choose, yes, please, thank you, I love you. It was great. I loved it. Okay, what now, life? What are we going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Instead,
I'm happy.
You don't ever have to do that again.
Right. Or now you need to quit your job and become a full-time activist and go around talking to large groups of people. No. We're just going to be right here doing what life calls us to do next as we put to rest this hateful system that has been torturing us. That's all.
Yes. And that's why the content doesn't matter if it's this or that thing, or, you know, other people can do this without getting afraid. Oh, well, you know, they might have a different, you know, orientation and skill set. No big deal. That's irrelevant. What's relevant is
the process. And you know what, Carol? They might be scared spitless, and they're doing it anyway, which is what you did. Right?
You went
up against that system that wanted you to be terrified, and you went up against it, and you did what you went there to do. Yay. It doesn't matter. And whatever is going on with anybody else, you know, Ashwini is always talking about all of us as nodes of intelligence, right? And that it takes every one of us, takes every node of intelligence in the world to be the world. And so it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing, right? We're working out our salvation diligently and be happy for everybody else who's working out theirs.
Exactly, and whatever that life will present, it may be very different one day from another.
Yes.
But we get to say yes to it.
Yep. Isn't it good?
It's good. I was so happy when that was the assignment yesterday. It's like, oh, I already got my thing lined up. So, my fearful project.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you, Carol.
All.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Carol. Oh, talk about practicality. But the thing that jumped out most to me in what Carol was saying is how if our orientation is to be present, how liberated we are from that sense of control that ego has over us, because we are not attending to the outcome. It's I'm here for what life is unfolding in the moment, and then I'm here for what life is unfolding in the moment. And that control mechanism has so little opportunity to manipulate us if we're not attached to the outcome of things.
Yes. So I'm just receiving what there is in this moment, receiving what there is in this moment. What does it mean? Nothing. So outcome just becomes irrelevant, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly so. And that's the experience of, well, I'm here, I went up to the microphone, I spoke. And then there are no reviews, and it's not about it leading anywhere. So then what's the next? Okay, I get down from the microphone and go home, and now I'm organizing something else. You know, it's a very different orientation.
Yes, and when we add thank you to it, you know, when we just add thank you to each and every moment, gosh, it's good. Then we're all dancing.
Then we're all dancing. Yes, exactly. Led by life, which is a very happy thing.
Yes, we're happy to follow.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christina in Southern California.
Well, hello, Christina.
Hello. It's so nice to be on.
It's so nice to hear your voice.
Thanks. I've been practicing with fear of large amounts of energy, and I call it fear because it's becoming pretty obvious through paying attention that a big part of how I'm controlled by egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate is it tries to dampen down the spirit. At all different levels. And at the beginning of practice, it was, very obvious levels. But now it's like these places of, I feel these huge bursts of energy. And then what I do is I turn to the mind, to conditioned mind, to decide what I'm supposed to do with that. Like what's next, instead of just sitting with it. And as soon as I started just sitting with it, that's when I could see that I was afraid of it. And, you know, because of at least what I would call fear, you know, my experience of, you know, what I've been told is fear. And and so I'm just in that place of, okay, you know, having, because I'm such a doer, like so many of us, you know, I got to do something about it. I got to fix it. And, you know, there's got to be some way to control this and manage this. And so being in that place where I just have to let that go it's been difficult.
Yes, yes, indeed. So a couple of things about that. That might be helpful in your watching, to realize that what is afraid of it is that same dampening process.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So So ego is siphoning off life force for itself. Okay. And then there's a bunch of life force that comes through, and ego says, "Oh my gosh, that's frightening," and just siphons off a mega load of it.
Yes, may I say something about that?
Oh, go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, to get that the whole process is a con job.
Yes, I'm definitely getting that the whole thing is a con job. And that it is trying to, you know, it is the same process of siphoning away the energy, dampening it down, taking it for itself. Mm-hmm. But the thing that comes up for me is what I feel powerless, you know, and I know that's my ego identification, feeling powerless. But because one of the things that it often, what happens to me when I have that kind of energy is it runs into this place of conditioned mind. Like either it's going to dampen it or it's going to, like, you know, wind me up and move me forward in a place that I think there's some happy medium, but what happens
to you don't want
to
go.
Say more about that. What do you mean?
Well, it'll drive you to some place you don't want to go.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Now,
you know, like,
right, you got to buy a lot and build a new house or...
Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, or burst into a room and, you know, I have this image of me like being really excited about something and just like taking over that room and talking for 2 hours straight and get it out. You know?
Yeah. Well, okay. Were you raised Catholic?
Yes.
Did you like the saints?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Yeah. Me too. Mm-hmm. and the thing that you got, the thing that we got about the saints, I mean, they did all kinds of things that were extraordinary for the rest of us. But the main thing that we got is they're living in a different reality, right? And as we get older, we realize that the description of that reality that they're living in is ecstasy. Right? They're living in a state of union with God. And so St. Teresa of Avila, you know, is thank you. That was her whole deal. That was her only prayer was thank you. And she was, just living in ecstasy. And so that's what that energy is. if we don't turn it over to ego, to make us afraid about or make us crazy, or, you know, have us do things that we get manic and,
do things
that we regret. And so what you're looking at is a really big spiritual issue. And that we talk about it as you need to expand the container. You need to let awareness, you need to get comfortable with expansive awareness, such that you can just, we call it twinkle often. You're just vibrating. You're not caught in a belief that having that kind of energy means you have to do anything in particular. And the things that that I encourage people to do in that process is any kind of physical activity that allows you to be present to yourself and your body. So back to Bev, you know, dancing is a great one. Any kind of, I mean, a lot of people will run because it just feels good. Not running to dissipate the energy, not dancing to dissipate the energy, but to receive it, to be to be for extended periods of time in that this feels wonderful. Thank you. I am so grateful. I am so happy that this is extraordinary. I feel so alive. Now, ego, of course, is going to want to dissipate it, right, and take it so... If you're running, it's going to have you run until you're exhausted. No, that's not it. Yeah, or dance. Dance when you really need to be fixing dinner for the kids. Okay, it's going to try to use it against you in any way it can, and your focus is to increasingly be able to have more and more and more energy for you, for the human being, and for life to use the human being for, with, whatever the preposition is at the end of that sentence.
So I successfully use that tip with work because lots of energy gets built while I'm working, you know, at a computer. And but I work alone in an office, and so I would set my timer and dance, and I still do that, or I – more than dancing. Well, sometimes I put music on and dance, but other times I'll do yoga. I sit sometimes, but I've really made that a part of my working practice. But transitioning it into, you know, while I'm with other people or in a cafe or, you know, where I might be sometimes I work in a cafe or, you know, I'm reading or listening or I don't know, I'm, you know, being out in life other than in my office by myself. Are there any tips for that?
It's really all the same process. And you can get comfortable with the energy when you're on your own. So it's in relationship work. So you and your husband are out somewhere, and one of you says something that is upsetting to the other one. When the relationship is new, you have to deal with it right then, okay, because this is so upsetting, and this is, but after a few years, okay, we know, first of all, we're going to get through this, and we can talk about it later. We can process this later. You're learning the same relationship with the energy with yourself. So you can feel, you know, it's really building up here. And you smile more, and you nod your head a lot when people are talking, right? Things like that. And you know that as that energy is building, first of all, the main thing for anybody who is in this process, the way where you are in the process, is to learn to see it not as a problem, but as joy.
Okay.
So you're learning to be more and more joyful all the time in various situations. That's what you're really practicing with. And sometimes, you know, you'll la, 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 and you know, it'll be fine. You know, you'll just say something like, oh, gosh, I'm wound up today. You know, happier than a human being really ought to be, I suppose, whatever it is. But you don't let it get turned against you, right? And,
okay.
And other people are not going to, you know, are not going to have too hard time being around somebody who is increasingly joyful, especially because you're going to be including them in that joy. The other aspect of it is, life is right there to take advantage of that. So as you become more joyful, your heart is more open, there's more compassion and loving kindness available, and life will help you find ways to share that. And I don't mean you've got to start another, you know, you start your own nonprofit. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking more, you know, Till yesterday was talking about helping somebody down the subway steps with a stroller.
Yeah.
We were talking about how to be helpful. This is the same thing. You have all this excess joy. You will find that you can actually embrace people in that without any effort.
Right, through kindness. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Presence, being really available for them, focused on them. Because the thing that we get with this in practice is increasingly you are fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And once we're fulfilled, we start overflowing.
Yes. It's a good problem to have.
It's a really good problem to have. Yes. All right. Thank you, Christina. Have fun. Enjoy.
I will. I am.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Christina. Sherry, that was a fascinating conversation. It truly is, once we get past the beatings, as we begin a spiritual practice, it is a relationship with that, the energy that animates. It's wonderful to experience practice as an intimacy with energy.
Yes, which some people call the divine.
Yes, exactly so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or God.
Yeah, but that,
yes.
That it's past mental, it's past thought, it's past emotions,
yes.
It's past all
yes.
of that to the context of what it really is.
Yes. You know, it's funny when you say that, it reminds me that over the years I've had so many people say, you know, when we talk about ending suffering, but without suffering, how do you grow? And this idea that suffering is what makes us feel alive. It's where the creativity is. It's where the juice is. And, of course, it is for ego. But what we're talking about here is when we step beyond that, that's actually when the growth begins. So when we talk about spiritual practice doesn't begin until the beatings stop, it's moving into a completely new dimension. And
yes.
Do we need suffering? No, we do not need suffering. We don't need self-hate or beatings or anything else. We can move into this dimension of joy, of the connection with the energy, as you're describing, and it's we're not going to miss it or lose a thing by letting go of that suffering.
Yes, and
quite
I just looked at the time here.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, so, but it's a beautiful segue to our assignment for the day, which is, none are so old as those who have outlived enthusiasm. That's what he's talking about, right? That energy is our enthusiasm, and karma is what limits it, not being here.
Yes.
Ah,
karma makes us
old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ah, what a fertile field age is for ego. Conditioned mind, ever enthusiastic about finding reasons for and meanings in, will look at someone lacking enthusiasm and opine that the lack is a result of too many years. If the person is young, another cause is attributed. Good to notice there's no mention of how old that person is who is so old. We've all known people who seem to have outlived enthusiasm practically since birth. We can take from this that age and enthusiasm have nothing to do with one another, but listening to the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate will drain your enthusiasm and make you old. Today, enjoy the youthful enthusiasm that is present in life. Record and listen.
Or as Jesus said, you must become as children.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Thank you,
Sherry.
That brings us to the end of a wonderful show. Deep Gasho.
Gasho to you. See you tomorrow. And thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Take care.